Chapter 25. Absolution. I woke draped on tack, smelling his musk. I opened my eyes and saw Tabby's tat under where my cheek was resting on Tack's shoulder. Somehow in the night we'd repositioned to our usual sleeping arrangement. And as usual, it felt good. A sharp stab pierced my heart as the day before washed through my brain. Damn. Right, one step at a time, and my first step was bathroom. Second, as ever, coffee. And then, check on Tabby. And then? I didn't know. But when that step came, I'd figure it out. Super carefully, because I really didn't want to wake Tack, I lifted my arm that was lying across his flat belly and started to roll. The problem with that was that Tack started to roll with me. He was bigger, more powerful, and his roll took me to my back with him mostly on top of me. Great. Awake half a minute and already my day wasn't going according to plan. His head came up and my eyes caught his alert, totally not sleepy ones. "Where are you going?" he asked softly, his gravelly early morning warm-in-bed rumble drifting over my skin. "Bathroom," I answered, ignoring my body and heart's response to his rumble. His eyes drifted over my face as if he was trying to ascertain if I was lying about heading to the bathroom, and instead intended to make haste to my secret chamber that would beam me to Fort Lauderdale. Then his eyes came back to mine. "After, come back to bed." I shook my head. "After, I'm starting coffee." He gave in to that, but ordered, "After that, come back to me." "No," I denied. "After that, I want to check on Tabby."
"She's good," he muttered,
his forearm that was in the bed beside me sliding up so his fingers could glide in my hair at the side of my head.
"Got up after you drifted off last night, checked on her. Sat with her a while because she wasn't finding sleep. Got her a couple Tylenol PMs. She went out. Checked about half an hour ago. She's still out."
There it was. He might not win Father of the Year, but he'd had his blowout. Then it was all about looking after his little girl. Not a surprise. A relief, but not a surprise. Also sweet, but I ignored that, too. Tack finished.
"So after coffee, you're back here."
Whatever. I'd agree and do what I wanted. So I lied. "Okay."
"Okay,"
he whispered, then dipped his head and touched his lips to mine, where he then touched the tip of his tongue to my lips. His goatee tickled my skin, and for some reason I felt his mouth, tongue, and goatee more than I usually felt it, and usually I didn't miss it. But it was like I was trying to memorize it, as if somewhere in the back of my mind I knew soon it would be gone, and I'd never have it again. He lifted his head and said quietly,
"Hurry back to me, baby."
And usually him saying something like that quietly, or even not quietly and just plain bossy, would make me hurry back to him. This time I just nodded, and that was a lie too. He rolled off but did it with his hand sliding to my jaw, taking my hair with it, and then I was free. I rolled the other way, and since I'd packed most of my stuff the night before, I went to my bag and dragged it into the bathroom. I did my thing. Found a pair of loose-fitting, soft, elastic waist pajama shorts with a cute little frilly edge on the hem and tugged them on. They didn't exactly go with my tee, but whatever. An outfit that matched was not, at that time, like it normally was, a priority. I washed my face, brushed, flossed, then packed my things back in the bag, ready for anything. I walked out and I wanted to avoid looking at the bed, but I couldn't. Even undone by the events of the day before and uncertain of my future with my man, such was the power of his charisma, I couldn't help but look. Sheet to the waist, chest, tats, six-pack on display, up on an elbow with his head in his hand, probing sapphire blue eyes on me. All man, all beautiful, all hot. Damn. I moved quickly to the kitchen, started coffee, then went to Tabby's room. The door was closed, though not latched, seeing as it was broken. I hoped Tack was as good with a screwdriver as he was with whatever tools they used in a garage. Okay, so I wasn't fucking up at work so much. Still, I had no clue what they did.
FYI, you could order parts without knowing how they were installed. Slowly, I pushed her door open, and on quiet feet, I walked to the bed. Tack was right, Tabby was out. I was also right. She was sleeping on her right side, so her left was visible in the morning light, and she had a shiner. It wasn't angry, but it was swollen, and it wasn't a good look. A seriously unfun lesson to learn at 16, that guys could be dicks and some of them supreme assholes. I pulled in a silent breath and leaned over her, cautiously shifting her long, thick hair away from her temple, cheek, and neck. Then it wasn't my place. We had been building it until last night, but it wasn't where we were still. I leaned down and kissed her soft hair at the side of her head. Then I straightened, turned to the door, and stopped dead. Tack was leaning in it, arms crossed on his chest, leg crossed at the ankle, no shirt, no shoes, messy hair, faded jeans. I swallowed.
"Couldn't help yourself," he whispered.
"No," I whispered back. He made no reply except for his lips twitching and his warm, beautiful eyes getting warmer and more beautiful. Since I couldn't stay in Tabby's room forever, I walked toward him, then went sideways to squeeze by him. This effort failed when Tack's fingers curled around my upper arm, and he halted me right after I made it into the hall. I watched as he leaned in and pulled Tabby's door, too. Then he came to me, rounding and shifting me so he was in front of me, and I had my back to the back hall. His arms slid around me, and he started walking forward, thus I had no choice but to walk backward. This seemed a theme in our relationship. Kane, Tack, Allen, backing me into something. I lifted my hands to place them on his chest and said quietly, "I'm going to get a cup of coffee." "Later," he muttered, still moving. Not a good choice of word. I went silent. Tack switched directions at his door, backed me in, stopped us to close the door with his foot. It latched, then he started moving us again. Another switch in directions and I was down on his bed with Tack on top of me and my hands on his chest, captive between us. I stared in his eyes as they moved over my face, and I steeled myself against how nice it felt when his hand framed one side and his thumb came out to sweep across the apple of my cheek.
"Quiet again this morning," he muttered after he studied me for a while.
"Mm-hmm," I agreed but shared no further. His eyes caught mine.
"She's sleeping," he told me something I knew. "This morning she and me'll talk. I'll see where her head is at, why she keeps doing fucked up shit, and then we'll see if we can get her over this crap."
"That'd be good," I replied.
"Right now, I want to know where your head is at."
"My head is thinking of coffee," I lied.
"Bullshit,"
he called me on it, speaking gently. I pulled in breath.
"Talk to me, babe,"
Tack urged. "You back me up a lot," I observed, and his brows drew together.
"Say again?"
"You back me up a lot." His head tilted slightly to the side, but he didn't reply. I gave examples. "In my office, last night in this room, just now down the hall, and, also in this room."
"Yeah?"
"Yeah."
"So?"
I fell silent. Tack rode my silence for half a minute, then he ended it.
"Red, I know you don't want me to bring her up at all, especially not in this bed, but BB's..."
At his words, I decided it was time. So it was me who started laying it out. "You mistook me yesterday," I stated, interrupting him. "That wasn't about me thinking you'd do what Hop did. That was about me confronting something that was shocking and difficult to process. It was unfortunate you called seconds after it happened when I'd had no time to think about it. But then you pushed me on it when I tried not to talk about it. And I had no choice but to process it on the spot, not on my time. So I did what I do. I got pissed about it." I took in a breath and finished quietly. "You shouldn't have pushed me, Tack." His hand moved to my cheek so his thumb could glide along my lips the entire time his eyes didn't leave mine, but he didn't say a word. That, I supposed, was an apology, but it also wasn't. So be it. I kept talking. I grew up in Ozzie and Harriet's house. My mom's a homemaker and bakes pies. We went to church every Sunday. My dad believes in God, the sanctity of marriage, football, and shoot 'em ups. In that order. I might have broken free from something that wasn't entirely me to live my own life, but I have never, nor did I ever expect, to see two people having sex right before my eyes. That was shocking. I didn't know what to do with it. From here on in, darling, you go to my room in the compound only with me. It's too late, Tack. What was seen cannot be unseen.
Red.
And it was her. I felt his body still as I felt the sting of tears in my nose, and I took in a deep breath to control them before I went on. You don't get how big that was, that it was her, because I didn't tell you.
Tell me what?
That I fell in love with you during tequila and roast pork sandwiches. His big frame gave a small jerk. His eyes flashed, and his fingers tensed on my face, but I kept going. It's stupid, ridiculous, actually, I know it, and I don't care since I also know deep in my heart that it happened. Black and white, my whole life, it seems, I lived in black and white. I met you. Suddenly all around me there was color. I sucked in breath and whispered, "Then you kicked me out of bed." His face went soft, his eyes went warm, and his head dipped closer to me as he growled a low, rough, quiet,
"Baby."
I shook my head. I fell in love with you and you didn't let me spend the night. You didn't even kiss me goodbye. And a day later, I saw you with her, and you'd spent the night with her, and you were kissing her goodbye.
"Fucking Christ, baby,"
he whispered, his hand flattening against the side of my head. That didn't sting, Tack. It hurt.
"Tyra, darling, I had no clue."
"I know you didn't. That doesn't mean that wasn't what I was feeling. And seeing her yesterday at all, much less what I saw, was going to be unpleasant. Circumstances and her being her just made it worse.
She's gone."
I nodded my head. "Yeah, but what's done can't be undone either."
"Tyra,
I've had 5 lovers." Tack blinked and his head went back slightly. Then he asked,
"What?"
5. Carefully chosen. Men I could work with. Men I thought, since I knew they weren't perfect, they would become that.
"No one's perfect, baby," he interjected.
"Please listen to me," I whispered, and he slightly lifted his chin to communicate he acquiesced to my request, so I continued. "I promised myself as a little girl that I would settle for nothing less than my dream man, nothing less. It was crazy. I thought on it, and I don't even know why I vowed that to myself. I just did. Girls do that, sure. Then the reality of life seeps in and they get over it. I never did. My dream man or nothing. So I looked for him my whole life. I was going to live that dream. I would settle for nothing less. So I had nothing until that night at Ride when I met you." I felt more of his heavy weight settle into me and his thumb swept my jaw as he whispered,
"Red,
and I know you think I'm vulnerable, Tack. And I know you understand you have to teach me how to live in your world, but I am not so stupid as to be partying with a bunch of rough-and-tumble bikers in the forecourt of a garage, drinking tequila and getting laid, and through that convince myself the man I'm with is perfect. The man I'd been looking for. My dream man, because I'm desperate to find him, or the sex was great, or I was drunk. The perfect I was looking for wasn't perfection. The perfect I was looking for was the one. And he was you." His hand pressed in as he murmured,
"Jesus fucking Christ, baby."
"Then you kicked me out of your bed without even a kiss goodbye."
"Christ, baby," he growled.
"And then you were a jerk. And I couldn't believe I was so wrong about you. Then you weren't a jerk. Then you were again. And looking back, I didn't know I was doing it, but I'll admit right now that you're right. I was playing games. I was doing it because I was testing you. Because if I was going to settle on the one, I had to be sure he was the one."
"Tyra,
you passed," I whispered. And his eyes heated as his face got closer, his hand shifting to cup my jaw, and I finished, "Then last night, you failed." His head jerked back.
What? You put your hand in my throat and shoved me against the wall. Tyra. I'll accept beer and tequila and eating chips out of a bag and dip out of jars and 10 pounds of extra weight, I told him. I'll accept people smoking pot and making out hot and heavy all around me. I'll even do it if I'm in the mood. Though maybe not the pot, I carried on. I'll accept your brothers getting their rocks off whenever they want with whoever they want because that's the way of your world, and also because you're right, it's none of my business. And lastly, having had time to think about it, it's the way of any world. Men cheat. Women do too. It happens everywhere, not just with bikers. Though I must say I don't ever want to see it again in the flesh, I shared and kept going. And I'll accept essentially being a second-class citizen in your biker world, but only if I'm treated with respect to my face, and that shit does not come home. I'll even accept rivers of blood because a man like you has to do what you have to do, and part of the reason why you were the one is because you're a man like you. I pulled in breath, held his eyes, and finished. What I will not accept is being shoved against the wall, a car, or even a pillow with your hand at my throat. To this, he replied immediately, "But your pulse is there, baby." My head jerked and I felt my brows shoot together because his soft response was not anywhere near what I expected. "Pardon?" I whispered.
"Did I hurt you?"
he asked. "That isn't the point."
"Yeah, darling, it is. Now answer, did I hurt you?"
"No," I whispered.
"And I won't," he replied. "Ever," he went on firmly. "Not like that," he concluded.
"Tack.
Found my sister dead. OD.
I blinked in shock at his words, the change in subject, and, well, his freaking words. Then I whispered, "What?"
"Dead. It was me who was with her. Me who found her. Felt her throat. No pulse. I gotta tell you, Red, there is nothing, not one thing in the world worse than putting your hand at the throat of someone you love and feeling nothing."
Oh my God.
"Tack," I breathed. "Rush was already born before she died, but first thing I did when Tab was born was wrap my fingers around her throat to feel her pulse."
"Oh God. Handsome," I whispered. But my time to talk was done. I knew this when Tack kept talking.
"I grew up in the life. My dad was in a club. His was different than chaos, started by veterans. Pissed, jacked up. They had their reasons and I don't got their experiences, so I don't judge. But his club was about brotherhood, the end. Not country, not blood, but loyalty to your brothers. They thought country fucked them over, so that no longer factored. Blood came second place, but only if the biker was the kind of man where his old lady or kid meant something to him. And they weren't about freedom to live your life the way you want, even if that way is raising hell. They were radicals. They were into anything and everything, serious, whacked out shit, all of it. And everything they did was to fuck the man."
His eyes held mine. They were intense, drilling into mine, and his lips kept speaking.
"And 'cause of that shit, my dad's doing a long fucking stretch. Life for double homicide."
"Oh my God."
"Yeah," he muttered, watching me closely. "That a good thing to share when you're getting to know a sweet, feisty woman who you know's gonna mean something to you?"
"Oh God. Honey,
my dad," he cut me off, "was about the brotherhood, not blood. Spent my life watching him knock my mother around. Spent my life knowing he fucked around on her whenever he wanted, wherever he wanted. And he did not give one shit that she or his kids knew. Spent that time vowing, I got a good woman, which my mom was in the beginning, that I would never, not ever do that shit."
His eyes were hard, resolute, and I kept silent because I figured it was now, later, so I had to take what was coming to me. And I wanted it. So I kept quiet and took it.
"Got an older brother," he kept going. "He hit 18, he joined the Air Force. Got the fuck out. Dad was in prison by then, and Mama convinced herself she wasn't worth shit, so she just kept hooking up with shit-heel biker after shit-heel biker that treated her like dad or worse. Don't blame my brother for getting the fuck out. Do blame him for never turning back. Didn't hear from him then. Don't now. Don't even know where the fuck he is. He left me and Kimmy to that. By the time I was free, I just wanted out so bad, I couldn't see anything else.
So I got on my dad's old Harley, took off, and left her to that too.